Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is just within our reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Do you remember, I know you do, when we had What's-His-Face here and I cut myself?
Yes.
And I was bleeding all over.
You're bleeding like a stuck pig.
Did you put that short on Facebook recently?
No, it may have been revived unless Austin did.
I put it on there today.
Oh, perfect. Oh. That'd be why. So my wife doesn't listen to the podcast or anything. And she was like, hey, she's like showing me. I was like, yeah, I told you I got cut and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And so we go through the spiel and I'm telling her about it. And she just looks at me and she's like, what the fuck's the matter with you? I was like, okay, babe. Thanks for the boost of confidence. Like, that's what I said. I was like, don't you know by now?
Yeah.
Like, we've been married to you. Think you'd have it fucking
20
figured
years.
Out.
You think you'd figure this out.
And I went on there and I hadn't seen it in a long time. So I went on there and like, I mean, I was bleeding bad.
Yeah.
It was fucking everywhere.
It was thin blood. Like, it went from like, oh, you're kind of bleeding to, oh my God.
Yeah, it was like
on your shirt.
Over my neck. I was like, oh, I think I did throw that shirt away.
Yeah.
Because blood does not come out of that gray fabric.
It was like one of those little movie squibs, you know, you hit little blood packets.
Yeah. Yep. I was just sitting there, just scratching my neck a little bit. It was like, man, am I bleeding?
You pick that pimple that's on the end of a blood vessel and it's just like Mount Vesuvius.
Yeah,
just
boom. What's that guy's name?
It was fun reliving that moment, though,
Daniel.
When I posted it today.
Yeah. Daniel.
I just sort of just watched it, you know, watched a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you forget those things. Like, oh, yeah, there's that one time David bled.
Yeah, I had forgot all about it. And she was like, that was bad.
That's how
like,
we treat our guests, right? We had the guys from Field Pulse here. And
yeah, I'm
just
bleeding
like a stuck pig all over him.
And Mitch gets up and he goes and gets, like, he's going to get me some TP. And he brings back this roll that's got like half of a fucking sheet on it. Like,
it's like the core.
Oh, okay, that's all I get.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all you get.
Oh,
it's usually
God.
You know, what happens whenever you really need toilet paper, like nosebleed, about to throw up. It's like the toilet paper is this much left. And then you're like, it's unpacked somewhere else in the house.
Yeah. It was a good laugh.
So when my.
I watched it. It was pretty good.
When my kids were in. I think one was still in preschool and one was in elementary school. They had watched.
So you're talking 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. They had watched A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah.
And I go pick up the one kid from preschool and I go pick up the other kid from after school care. And I'm in my plumbing van. And actually, I think I had gone home and gotten the other car. Anyway.
Were you at R&L then?
No. I would have been at.
Were you at LBA then?
LBA.
Just started at LBA, probably?
Not just started, but...
Not very long.
Midway through or whatever.
You still live in the old house, probably, right?
No, this was the new house.
You had just moved here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So...
Sorry, everyone. Everyone's like, what the fuck is he babbling about? Yeah. I'm trying to get the timeline right in my brain. I know no one cares.
Dave loves him some context.
I do love me some context.
Before you start,
I have to know the who, what, when, where, and why for my brain to function correctly.
They had three dogs or two dogs?
Yeah.
So I pick him up. It's bitter cold outside. It's like 10 below zero. And I pick him up, and it's one of those days where you're the last kid picked up.
Yeah.
From before, so you're the bad parent, you know?
Yeah.
And
they don't, for the record, they barely know. They don't remember, but the whole time you're like, God, I'm such a piece of shit right now.
Yeah. And so we're walking out to my van, and we're walking by the light pole, and I see Mason look at that light pole and turn his head a little bit. And,
oh, shit.
And I knew what movie he had watched the weekend before.
No.
And literally, I vocalize, like, don't you dare. Stick your tongue to that pole. And what's he do? Walks right up to it and puts his tongue on the pole and gets stuck. And I'm like,
did you walk over there all slow and go, I fucking told you, dude?
No, I because I know
it's painful.
I know what happens, right?
And
he was freaking stuck. and about a quarter size amount on his tongue was stuck to this pole. Oh, and so I looked at him and I went and pulled for a second, and you see those taste buds stretch, you know, and I'm like, and he's crying already.
Oh yeah. He was crying instantly. Yeah. Probably.
And
dumbass.
And so I'm like, all right, I gotta go get some water. Like in the meantime, try and spit on it, which it's impossible to spit with your tongue out of your mouth stuck to a pole.
That poor kid. Oh my God.
Right. So I go inside and I'm like all in a panic. And of course the school doors are locked. So you're having to ring the doorbell and like
trying to
unlock
you in. Do the code. Yeah. We had a code at ours. I'm like, I can never remember. Like the day after I forgot, I still couldn't remember what it was.
And so then I'm like, I need a cup. I need a glass of water. My kids licked the fucking flagpole.
And they're so laughing at you.
Like, nobody has cups. Nobody has cups. Nobody has anything. And so I get like this little tiny cup, like the size of a shot glass. It's like out of the nurse's stand that she'd give you to take a pill with.
Yeah, it's the Advil cups.
Yeah. So I get two of those and fill them up in the drinking fountain and try not to spill them. And I'm like, all right, we got two shots of this. Like, let's try.
You just pour it real
slow.
So I pour
one and the thing freezes right on the spot.
Oh,
and I'm
shit.
Like, oh crap. So I'm going to have to like pour and peel on the other one. So that I'm like, we got one shot left. So now that I have a free hand, I put a hand on his forehead and I like pour and peel at the same time. His tongue was burned white.
He had frostbite. Yeah, no shit.
For like 7 hours. He had a white spot the size of a quarter on his tongue. And it was gone by the morning, but it was still there when he went to bed the night before.
Like, did you just look him in the eye and go, I fucking told you not to do it?
I posted about it on Facebook. This was like 10 years ago that this happened. Maybe 9 or 8 years ago,
but I posted
it.
10,
I posted about it on Facebook, and everyone was like, "Picks or it didn't happen." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, because that's the time you want to stall." Like, hold on, Mace, I got to do this one for the gram. Like,
first off, I'd have took a picture of it and been like, "Look here, dude." Yeah.
Rub that punishment in, right?
You know, when Layla was born, I was like, I wasn't butthurt, but I was like, man, I wanted a son and this and that. And then, like after probably 3 years, I was like, thank God I don't have a son.
Yep.
Like in. No way I could handle it.
Yeah.
I'd just be chewing their ass and hard on them all the time.
Yeah.
Like, your boys have done some dumb shit.
Well, that's what we're talking about today.
And that's what I've, like, literally when I think back at the dumb shit we did, I'm like, man, thank the Lord Almighty.
Well, my boys are angels compared to you and I growing up.
I know. That's my point.
And you're telling me, like, you got to correct this. I'm like, we were twice as bad and we turned out okay.
It could be worse. Is okay this? Okay.
I mean,
dude,
look
at us. How many bullets did we dodge, though? Not everyone gets
physical
to dodge.
Physical or?
Both.
I mean, we dodged a lot of proverbial bullets, I'll tell you that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't go 1,000 for 1,000 time.
We caught some bullets, too.
You caught a couple things.
See, like, with being a girl dad.
This is also true.
Like, you don't have to keep being a girl dad, you don't have to keep boys from, like, light sockets and, you know, ice cold poles for you. You just have to answer the door with a shotgun when she's 16.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
why
that just
I
solves
live,
a lot of problems.
Yeah, I live out on that ground.
Trained his daughter to answer the door with her own shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she's a badass.
Did you have the whole thing, like, preemptively worked out?
I've been working on it. I have two kill rooms in my house.
Yeah.
I'm not making that shit. I'm not even making that shit.
Have you ever had a plumbing call and you walk into a room and you're like, yeah, this could be a kill room?
It's usually sex rooms.
Yep.
The HVAC was the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'd be like, well, can you check this run? Can you check this run? Can you do that? And blah, blah, blah. And this and that. And airflow. Like if we were doing a whole system revamp.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd go into a room and they'd be like, oh,
yeah,
I forgot that stuff was
in
there.
Sorry about this room.
I forgot that stuff was in there.
And you think to yourself like, dude, like this is a curl room. Like this.
No, it was like
this is a sex room.
Yeah, yeah, sex rooms. Dude, everywhere. It's mostly like 25 to 35-year-old young couples with no kids.
Yeah.
Like
and they have
every
a weird
time.
Eye bolt screwed into the ceiling and you know exactly why.
Dude, I'm not shitting you. I saw two sex swings.
Yeah.
Like hanging up still. It's okay, good for you guys.
Yep.
The closest to a murder room was the murder house up to Buckner Tarsney that you and I were in.
Yep.
Yeah. The worst is George. That story he tells about the sex. Was it a strip club or just a swinger club?
It was a swinger club, I think.
Swinger club.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. Ugh.
So today's topic is how to have confrontational conversations, but how to have them in a productive way. And I had to have one of these last week, involving, ironically, one of my sons in school. So, and it looks, by the sound of today, it looks like I get to have another one today.
Did you have one with him or him and the school?
So last...
Both?
Thursday. Last Thursday, my wife's gone when my youngest son gets home from school. So he walks in from school and I'm on the phone with my wife.
Dad, guess what the fuck happened?
As he walks in from school. And he's standing there kind of hovering, so I can tell he needs to talk to me when I get off the phone, right?
Something's happened.
So before I get off the phone with Danielle, Danielle tells me, she was like, hold on, the school is calling me. Grant's school is calling me, so I need to let you go. And so I'm like, all right. So I hang up the phone and I look at Grant, and he kind of looks at me like, that's what I'm trying to talk to you about.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, and Grant and I have a great relationship. He doesn't hide much of anything from us. And so,
oh no, he's brutally honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty scary.
And so I'm like, what's going on? What do you need to talk about? And he goes, I think I got into a lot of trouble today. And I'm like, what do you mean? What's a lot of trouble? And he goes, well, they think that they might give me 10 days out of school suspension. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
What is your initial thought? Like, he punched somebody, started a fight.
With him, you never know.
Cut someone's finger off with a pair of scissors.
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, this is the kid that got dared to pretend to slip on a banana in the lunchroom. And so he did. And when he did, his lunch tray flipped ketchup all over the ceiling. And so he got like 3 days lunch detention for that. The kid is insanely brilliant, so brilliant that he gets bored at school and he needs extra challenges. Right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm like, what do you do? Like what, you know, and I know he'll tell me, and he was like, well, I may have been racist. And I'm like, whoa.
Like, he's not racist either. That's no. What's funny.
And so I'm like, whoa, because I know he's not.
Kids aren't racist. And let's be honest.
Yeah, it's a learned thing.
It's a learned thing.
And so I'm like, whoa, like, what do you mean you may have been racist? And he says, well, me and my buddies were all standing around. And keep in mind, Grant's girlfriend, his
girlfriend
that
he hangs out with.
That's a lady that he's wants to be girlfriend, but she's not allowed to date yet. But she lives a block and a half away and she comes over all the time.
Okay.
So
his friend, that's a girl that he likes, but we don't know. Okay.
She's gotcha. Asian.
Okay.
Okay. So,
nice. Not that it matters.
And Grant's friend group is a melting pot. He's like, it is the most melting pot you can have. There's Asians, there's Hispanics, there's Puerto Ricans, there's, Salvadorians. There's two black kids. Like
kids don't know. They don't care.
Well, and we joke around all the time. Like Grant will hang out with anybody as long as they're not white.
It's because he sees you and his brother.
I don't know.
And he's like, fuck these white guys.
So Grant's friend group was standing around, and one of his friends, ironically a Hispanic kid, one of his friends was like, hey, do you guys want to hear a joke? And everyone's like, yeah. And the kid goes, what do you call two Asians that had an accidental child? And somebody in the group didn't hear the joke. And so Grant, they were like, oh, what was that? I didn't hear it. And so Grant repeated it. And then when it came time to deliver the punchline, his friend delivered the punchline. And the punchline is suddenly.
Not okay? Racist.
Not only is it not racist, it's a bad joke. That's not even funny.
That's a dad joke.
It is a total dad joke.
It's a dad joke.
Right?
It's a horribly awful dad joke.
So,
but it's not racist.
Yeah. The kids chuckled around a little bit and kind of walked away. Well, a teacher overheard it.
They're always listening.
Grant's girly friend, is
just
Asian.
Say girlfriend, please. You're fucking me up.
It's not his girlfriend, but you know what I mean.
For our context, yes.
And so a teacher pulls Grant's friend aside and says, hey. The girlfriend. Does that offend you? That Asian joke? And she's like, no, it was funny. And she walks away. So then this teacher goes to the principal's office and says, I've caught Grant saying a racist joke in the presence of somebody who was that race. And I asked the person if they're offended, and they said they're not, but I'm pretty sure they are.
Is this lady have purple hair and 32 years old and white?
Don't know.
Guarantee it.
So,
guarantee it. Fucking
so the school
Karen.
Calls and tells us that they found Grant in this racial activity. this racist activity, and they're still trying to get to the bottom of it.
But you've already heard this from Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're still trying to get to the bottom of it. And he's definitely in trouble, but they're trying to find the severity of it to gauge the trouble. And so I called the school immediately because it's nothing racist. That's
preemptive strike too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
And they didn't call me back that night. And I told Grant, if you get in trouble the next day, text me. And so he texted me. He was like, hey, I just got called out of class or taking me to the office. I'm in trouble. And I'm like, okay. So I call the school again, leave a message. And then he texts me again and he was like, all they're telling me is that it's at least 10 or 3 days in school suspension. It might be 5. It might be 10. They still don't know. So finally I talked to the principal, and for those that follow me on Facebook, you may have seen me post a post about anybody else feel weird whenever somebody that's a medical doctor or has an educational doctorate
that was the
prefers that you refer to them as doctor?
That was the principal?
Yeah. So this guy's like, this is Dr. So-and-so, and their head principal at this school is awesome. He never introduces himself as doctor. It's I'm Mr. So-and-so. Okay.
Yeah.
But this guy, obviously, he's on an ego power trip because he's trying to make a racial issue where there is no racial issue. And so...
Well, he was convinced by the original person.
This guy was part of it, too.
Was he?
As I learned. So...
Okay. Continue with your story, sir.
He goes on and says, this is Dr. So-and-so, and I understand you're Grant's father. And I'm like, yeah, I'm Master Plumber Smedley.
And he paused. You literally said that to him?
Oh, hell yes, I did. And he paused for a second, and I just said, hey, if you're going to use your title, I'm going to use mine. And
first off, like, I love it, but you're poking the bear right out of the gate.
Well, yeah.
People say that, like, I've been that way my whole life, and people are like, Dave, you got to take it down. One of those people used to be Mitch, and now Mitch is like, nope, I'm poking every bear in the fucking room right out of the gate, baby.
You got to understand that, the whole topic of this show is having confrontational conversations.
Yeah. People are afraid to say things like that.
Yeah, you don't have confrontational conversations if you're timid about your thoughts. You need to be very open and very candid about things. And so... the guy paused for a minute and I said, you know, hey, if you're going to use your title, I'm going to use mine. And essentially what I was doing was I was establishing to him that I don't care that you have a doctorate.
No.
Right? This is two adults talking about the best way to educate and raise a young child.
I'd have called him Mr. anyway after that.
And so...
Like, okay, whatever, principal douche.
Right. And so then he tells me this whole story. And the story that he's telling me is that Grant said this racial joke, and then a teacher asked the Asian student if they were offended, and they were. And I said, okay, I'm gonna set some.
Are you lying, or was she lying to you?
Well, I said I'm gonna set some expectations here very quickly because I'm gonna set the expectations for the outcome that I want to have during the course of our conversation. And he was like, okay. And I said, we're going to clear up exactly what happened and what didn't happen. We're going to clear up any misunderstandings. But then another expectation that I intend to walk away from this conversation with is that my son is not in trouble at all. Not that I'm standing up for my son and I don't want you to punish him. It's that right now you're confusing the hell out of him as to what is racism and what isn't. And what he did is not racist. And we'll get to that later. But the outcome of this conversation is that either my son is no longer in trouble, or if he is in trouble by your standards, then he will serve that punishment in my house, not in your office. And he goes, okay, well, whether I agree or disagree with those, thanks for clarifying your expectations of the conversation. That is step one of having a constructive conversation around conflict, is to set realistic expectations of what you want out of the conversation.
Well, especially when that conversation could potentially get out of hand.
Get volatile. Get emotional.
At the very beginning.
Right.
Like laying down what your standards are is very important.
Yes.
When we're 20, we don't do that.
Right.
We just fly off the handle and then everyone's butt hurt and nothing happened.
Right.
Nothing constructive happened.
Right. And so, you know, some like I have a rule. I've talked about it on the show before. I have a rule that, you know, the school punishes my kid at school. I don't punish my kid for when they get in trouble at school. I don't punish them at home. And that doesn't mean they get a free pass at home. But if my kid, like the 3-day lunch detention thing, if he broke the rules and he's 3 days in lunch detention, hey, you shouldn't have broke the rules.
Yeah, sorry, bro. Deal
right?
with it.
And if you broke the rules, that's their punishment. You got to handle it, right? Because in life, I'm not going to be able to be there if his boss is a little too hard on him. If his college professor is a little too hard on him.
Yeah, he's going to have to deal with it.
He's got to figure out how to deal with that, and he's got to suffer the consequences, right? And if he gets pulled over for going 44 and a 40 and the cop wants to write him a ticket, you're not going to see me like fly up behind him and yell at the cop to get him out of the ticket. No, you were breaking the law. You got to suffer the consequences, right?
Yeah.
And so literally the only time I've ever deviated from that is this course here and other courses where I feel that there was no violation of rules. And so I tell the guy, or the guy tells me that, you know, Grant said this racial joke, the teacher pulled out the Asian kid was indeed offended. And so that's why Grant's in trouble. And I said, okay, we have several problems with this. One is the Asian person you're referring to, and I said their name. I'm not going to say it here.
Yeah,
I said their name, and I said their name was X, right? And they were like, yes. And I said, okay, that's Grant's really good friend. She lives right down the street. She's actually in my basement right now. They're laughing and giggling. They're playing. I said, she comes over to our house all the time. Last night, she was texting with him back and forth after all this was going on, and they were laughing and giggling over text. And so, she tells me that the teacher asked her if she was offended, and she said no, she thought it was funny. So, the problem number one is you have a teacher that's not being honest, and you have a teacher that is placing their offense for the joke through a student.
Which is a huge problem.
That is a massive problem.
For him.
For
Dr. So-and-so douche.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care what his name is.
Doctorate, whatever. Right?
Doctorate douche.
Yeah.
I'll call him Doctorate douche from now on.
So.
AKA principal.
Yeah. I said, problem number two I have with this is so far, nobody knows the level of punishment Grant's going to have. And it seems that the level of punishment is being gauged based off of how offended other people were. And I said, rules don't work like that.
Yeah.
I said, if I'm driving down the highway, if the speed limit on the highway is 65 and I'm driving 64, but I pass somebody who's doing 40, which is also a legal speed on the highway, right?
Yeah.
If I pass somebody doing 40 and they're offended that I passed them at a higher rate of speed, there's no trouble I can get in by offending them, right? The rule is 65. Was I in violation of the rule? I don't care if I offended anybody. Was I in violation of the rule?
Yeah.
And I said, we've got like almost a double whammy here. We have a teacher who's placing offense through a student, but then also we're gauging a level of punishment based off of how offended somebody may be, not off of is it in violation of any kind of rule or not.
Yeah, which is a shit show.
Yeah. And so then I'm like, now let's talk about the offense. You're claiming that this joke is racial. I said, do you understand what
racism?
I said, do you understand what racism is? Oh yeah. This is a thing we have to address all the time.
I'm a like, doctorate motherfucker. Don't you know?
And I said, okay. So racism is thinking one race is superior to others or some races are inferior to others. And racism is putting somebody down because of their race.
Yeah.
Right? Now, let's talk about humor for a second. Humor is a very natural human activity. We thrive on humor. We should never be in a case where we're afraid to mention somebody's race for clarification or for stereotypical reasons for fear that the mentioning of their race is racism.
Yeah, that'd be like you looking at me and going, Dave, you're white, and then I'm offended.
Right.
Like, what fucking sense does that make?
Right.
None. It's the same thing.
And I said, if we can't even mention somebody's race because that might be considered racism, then the school is racist every day. Because anytime the kids do a state test, they have to fill out their name, their date of birth, and their race.
Yeah.
Okay. We assign race to 1,000 things all the time.
For no reason.
For no reason. Yeah. Right? It doesn't matter.
It's insanity.
Yeah. But it's for their demographics, and they can say, oh, yeah, we went up 3 points on the black community, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, I said, this joke was not racist. It was using racial stereotypes for the purpose of humor without putting one race above or below another, without degrading a race or anything. I said, this joke is very similar to, I said, have you ever heard the joke of what do you call one white guy surrounded by 10 black guys? A quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. That joke uses race to frame the humor in the joke, but does not put one race over another, does not make one race superior to another.
It's also not funny.
It's
but
not
yes.
degrading, right?
Yeah.
It's not that funny.
It's another dad joke.
Right.
Dad jokes inherently aren't racist.
Now, if I said, what do you call one white guy surrounded by 10 N-words? Racist, right? We're derogatory. We're putting them down by using that
Yeah, of course.
That
can't,
name.
You can't do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course
so,
not.
I said, ultimately, my biggest problem with all of this is that right now you're confusing the hell out of a 13-year-old kid as to what is racism and what isn't.
Yeah.
And he's literally friends with that whole melting. Like, I know all the kids that were standing in that circle.
Well, what they're doing is teaching someone to be racist.
Exactly.
That's what they're doing.
Exactly.
You know, like, if you start setting up those walls and boundaries now.
Yeah.
They see that as, they don't know it's racism, but that's what it is. We're teaching those kids to be racists.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that it is such a learned activity is horrible.
Yeah.
That literally means, and I don't think people really inherently think of things as they get older as I was the problem.
Right.
Like if we were doing that, you and I, we are the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Our parents were the problem. Our grandparents were the problem.
Right.
Like, they were teaching all of us to be that way.
Yeah.
And here it is, a doctor, a leader of children and teachers.
Yeah.
Creating, how do I want to say this? Doing the worst imaginable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And keep in mind, too, not that this has any bearing on it, but it does establish a little bit of Grant's character. The kid's got straight A's.
Doesn't speak to character, but
well, he's in all honors classes.
I'm really smart, but
except for one.
We just learned of one
class he's not in honors in, and that's changing its semester. He's getting bumped up to honors.
Fucking around in that class too much too?
Yeah. Yeah. He had one class where the teacher was like, I have a hard time keeping Grant on task. And it's like, well, what do you mean? Well, after he's done with his work, there's still a lot of time left and he's distracting. And I'm like,
why is there so much time left?
Give him more work. What do you mean?
Get him a shovel.
He's bored. Challenge him.
Yeah.
I said, the kid's got an A+ in your class.
Yeah.
Prove to me that you can challenge him hard enough to give him an A or an A-.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even beginning to challenge him. So challenge him and he won't screw off.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I'm okay with people being hard on my kid if it's constructive. I'm not okay with people confusing my child. Right?
Well, you're not okay with them, like, creating expectations that they can't reach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If he gets into a fist fight with a kid on the playground and he gets 3 days ISS, dude, that's the consequences of getting into a fist fight. I hope you won.
Yeah.
You know, you're not in trouble at home. That's the school's job to punish you at school. So like what I always tell people on that is like, you know, the school will reach out and be like, hey, can you have a conversation with Grant? He's been acting out a little bit. He's been talking back and blah, blah, blah. And my mental reply, I've replied like this a couple of times. I don't usually. My mental reply is, you know, by the way, Grant's been talking back to his mom a little bit at home. Can you have a conversation at school about how he's behaving at home? It's not that I disrespect teachers or I don't support them or anything else.
No, you support them more than most parents do.
I support them more because he's under your control in your classroom. Do as you see fit.
Yeah. And the Karens of the world have made that problem.
Yes.
Like all these, you and I have talked about this before. All the teachers are scared to death that if they challenge a kid or make a kid feel bad, they get 57 fucking emails.
Yeah.
From, you know, that parent, that parent's aunt, the grandma, all the Karens of the world are just beating down their door and they're just literally scared to death to do anything.
Yep. Yep.
Mitch doesn't care. Slap that kid in the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's broken a legitimate rule, do that.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't. Same thing with Layla. Like, she doesn't get in trouble. Yeah. Like, she'll come home crying, like, I'm in trouble. And the teacher's like, no, I just made her sit by herself for like 10 minutes because she was talking too much.
Yeah.
And she does. Never shuts up. But
well,
it's like,
I'm like,
I have to tell her, you're not actually in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell the teacher, like, okay, good. Do whatever you got to do. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Have you ever heard the joke of, like, to all those kids that were told that they talk too much during class?
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
What business do you own now?
Start a podcast.
No. Like, most of those guys have evolved into business owners.
Yeah.
You know, because they were kind of limit pushers. They push the limits. They break the mold. They push the boundaries, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, this guy takes all my information and he closes out the conversation, reminding me that he's appreciative that I set those expectations in the conversation and all this. And he says, I'm going to look into this more. And I'll get back to you, because this is the first time that the principal had heard that the Asian girl was not upset. This is the first time the principal had heard that the teacher was being offended on behalf of the Asian girl.
Yeah.
And this is the first time the principal had heard the actual joke. He had never even heard.
How does he not, when that shit's thrown on his desk, not do his due diligence?
Exactly.
I have a more problem with people being lazy and not doing their jobs than I do with almost anything else. And that's regardless of the field they're in.
Yeah.
Plumbers, fucking the electrical guys out there. What's his name that lives across the street from you? Runs for the gas company. Yep. Teachers. Do your damn job.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I said, wait, this is the first you've heard of all this? If this is the first you've heard of all this, you don't even have enough information to initiate punishment.
Yeah.
I said, so I'm going to leave you with one more request. He's sitting in your office right now, isn't he? Yep. Can you send him back to class until you know if he's even in trouble or not?
Yeah. What the
because
fuck, dude?
Right now, he spent an hour in your classroom or an hour in your office yesterday, and now he spent 2 hours in your office today.
For nothing.
For something that you don't even know what happened, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I can't really do that yet and blah, blah, blah. And that's when...
Yeah, you can. You're the fucking principal, Dr. Douche.
That's when I reminded him. I said, I'm going to remind you of one of those expectations. That if you do follow through with this punishment that I absolutely disagree with why he's even in trouble, he will spend this punishment in my house, not in your office.
Yeah.
I will not allow him to be the kid labeled as a racist
for not being a racist.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the office right now for racist activity.
And he's not a racist.
Right.
Did you say, I'll come get him if he's not going back to fucking class?
So like an hour and a half later, the principal calls me back and they were like, we've looked into this. The principal never, ever thanked me for the previous conversation, never thanked me for giving him the additional information. The principal took credit for all of it. And he says, we've done our due diligence and we've looked into this further. And I've spoken with Hannah because I've now learned that she was the person, the Asian person in the room. And I'm like, you only learned that because I told you.
Hannah's the most white girl name I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like Switzerland white.
Shoot. I said her name. Oh, well. Anyway.
You didn't say her last name.
Yeah. So, and then I've talked to the teacher and it sounds like Hannah is not the least bit offended. It sounds like Hannah thought it was funny. It sounds like the joke wasn't even racist. And so, I'm going to look into this. I'm going to have a conversation with the teacher a little bit more about this. It's looking like the teacher may have blown all of this out of proportion.
No shit.
I'm not surprised. I'm like, huh, that seems an awful lot like the conversation that I had with you. But now he's taking all the credit for it, right?
I will say this. Like, the whole, well, they didn't thank me. I don't ever need thanks anymore. Like, I'm at a point in my life where I just want results. And it's like, I don't even care.
I understand.
As long as somebody learned their fucking lesson, I'm okay with it.
Well, so the reason I'm
Unless
bringing up...
Unless it's you, because I will Yeah. I want thanks and apologies for Mitch.
Hey, I apologized to you the other day.
You did, and I was well you were accepted.
Shocked. I was like, oh, okay.
So, the reason I bring up the thanking me for my points in the previous conversation was because thanking me would show that he listened to me and that I brought up valid points, and it's because of those points that he looked into this further. And so not thanking me for those points and him taking credit for the points that I brought up shows that he's on an ego power trip.
It speaks to his lack of character.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's which we already knew that.
And he's a principal of a fucking school.
That's doctor so-and-so to you, right?
Yeah. I always thought old crotchety guys, like we're just old crotchety guys.
Yeah.
I know why now. It's because 60 years of dealing with stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
It's just literally like just dumb motherfucker after dumb motherfucker gets you to the point where you're like, all right, I've had enough. I mean, what do you expect from me?
Well, and some people love to just argue. They don't want to have results. They just love to argue. They love to fight.
I used to be that way.
And the school system gets that from plenty of parents, right?
Yeah.
You'll have a kid like a couple of weeks prior when the same kid got the 3 days of lunch detention for goofing around and flipping the ketchup on the ceiling. There are parents that would have called the school and like chewed the school out for that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no. That's the school's got to do their job.
Yeah.
Like you'll never see me.
Your kid's being a jackass. We got to rein him in once in a while.
Yeah. You'll never see me with that. So ironically, today.
Is he in trouble again?
Yeah. So.
Like, Ray, I did all this work.
So
yesterday. I will say this. It does seem like he may not be learning some of those lessons.
I mean, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The problem with school is, even if you can validate what he did isn't wrong, but it's every day.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Well.
That's a home problem.
Of this stuff isn't problems. A lot of this stuff is just a kid that's desperate to do more. His mind is racing faster than what the school can feed him.
Or desperate for attention.
He doesn't really want the attention.
The combination is what's dangerous.
Yeah, it's more just the creativity. Like, his mind is running 24/7. This is the same kid who's 24/7. Like, he'll get out my press for, I mean, like a machine shop press.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I'm wondering where you're going with this. What the fuck is he doing?
He'll take
that
charcoal and smash it, and I'll go out there, and there's a fucking charcoal exploded everywhere, and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm trying to make a diamond.
You've got to focus his energy.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think I'm not getting him that drum set for Christmas, you're a fucking, I'll be when you're having a bad day and tough, like you need something to do, just, get in on this thing.
I think for the listeners too, like you,
I looked the other
you've
day,
laid out you said double whammy, you've laid out the part about the joke, but the other part, and then I think this is the reason why you said double whammy, is the whole mystery of like, your punishment is determined by feelings. Like when you get pulled by a cop, it's like, okay, you're doing 15 over, that's this dollar amount, or were you doing 20 over, this is this dollar amount.
Yeah, a cop can't write you a ticket because they feel like you were speeding.
Yeah.
It's, were you speeding or were you not?
Yeah.
You know? Now, they can write you tickets for driving too fast for the conditions. So like if you get
a careless careless improvement.
If you're driving in the rain and you slide off the road into a ditch, a cop can write you a ticket for driving too fast for those conditions, which kind of like speeding, but not really, right?
Well, and even that ticket I think is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Like unless you harm someone else's property or someone else's car or something like that, you shouldn't be giving out tickets for that.
Yeah.
Like that's based on your judgment.
Yeah.
Just because my judgment, if I think my judgment was right, that does, like I'm not breaking any laws. I just thought the car could handle it.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's my objective.
The speed limit on the road's 45. I thought I could take the corner at 40 in the rain, and turns out you can't.
Yeah, it's not my fault that I was doing donuts in that parking lot and didn't realize that those curb balusters were fucking everywhere and I tore off my own axle. Like, I don't need the ticket to go on insult to injury here.
I mean, if it's an actual punishment, there should be something in the rule book. Okay, stealing, this many days in suspension. You know, hitting a kid this many days, it's almost like they were like, well, it's almost like they didn't have any protocol for what they consider was like a racial
joke. That is kind of a problem too. Like, we're far enough along now. Like, wouldn't you think they would have something in writing that says this is what we think is racism and this is the punishment?
Right.
Not, we think this racist joke was more racist than the other joke, so instead of 2 days, it's 10 days.
Right. Right. Like, that's the ambiguity that goes with the whole thing.
Ooh, ambiguity. Nice word.
Yeah. That's good. All of that unknown, right?
Yeah.
And so, regardless of like the makeup of this, and I don't want this show to be about like this principle necessarily, that the main topic of the show is more like, okay,
well, no, it's how to handle those type of people, regardless of where you're at.
They
in
are,
life.
Where, yeah.
Think principals, managers,
customers,
retail sales.
Employees.
Yeah. It does. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Those people are everywhere.
You go into this situation where people, they go off the handle and you did it right. Where it's like, you stated exactly what you wanted. And I think a lot of people get in negotiations having no idea what they actually want. They just want something to happen.
No, they're mad and they use emotion, just like the people that are
trying to punish.
You know what I mean?
Well, they become tyrants. Like, they don't know what they want. All they want to do is just control people.
Well, they're operating out of emotion.
Yeah. No bearing on where do I want this to go? No planned outcomes, no desired outcomes. So it comes off as that's a person that just loves to argue and loves to fight.
Yeah. And people get confused too, like emotional versus emotions playing like your decision making. Like, I'm a very emotional person.
Right.
Right. We know it.
Right.
Like, that's how I am. But I don't let emotions dictate my decision making like I used to.
Right.
You know what I mean? I will literally stop myself, think about what I'm going on and say, okay, is that my emotion taking over or is that what should probably actually be done?
Right.
You know, like maturity and getting older and like it makes it easier to handle. But like, we talk about it with some of the Tradewinds guys that are young, like, I almost said his name, but I don't want to, like, called me one time. He had been a member maybe 6 months and was literally thinking about walking away from a huge contractor because he hated the guy's guts and the guy got him riled up. I'm like, dude, don't do that.
Yeah.
I said, just eat it, raise the price on the motherfucker and buy your new wife a BMW. Is exactly what I said. BMW with those profits. I said, get him that way.
Yeah.
Don't let your emotions dictate how you're going to run your business. You know, use it to facilitate your decisions, but like, you know, don't let those raw emotions handle everything.
Yeah,
you can't
emotion,
do that.
Emotion has no place in production. And that's in business. That's in your own house and everything else. Now, it's harder to remove emotion in your household than it is in business. But you'll find that the better you can remove emotion, the better decisions you can make.
Usually, yes. Like, the only caveat to that would be like athletes when they get fired up and they're emotional and they play. But like 90% of us aren't making money through athletics. So it doesn't, you know, it's not the same.
Right.
The piece on that too is people, like, they think that works, like being a tyrant and just letting their emotions run wild. And the people that will let them run over, they think, I won that. But you'd be surprised at how vindictive those people are that you ran over, and they're just waiting for you to have a bad day, or they're just waiting to like sabotage you.
Well, and that's the principle's probably that way.
Yeah.
You know, by stating I'm a doctor first, blah, blah, blah. He's used to using his title to get his way and feel like he won.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I guarantee that's how he usually operates.
Right. And you know, you'll find in your own life, like, it's not for me to try to correct him. Right. It's for me to correct him in this instance.
Yes.
But it's not for me to like try to teach him a lesson or he'll rue the day he crossed me. It's like, no, my interests are my kid's development.
Yeah. And you just hope that he maybe grasps onto a little bit of reality and does better.
But you have no
control over that.
Right. If I've learned anything in life, it's that changing who adults are is virtually impossible. I can't make anybody change. All I can do is show them what it might look like if they choose to change themselves. So,
yes.
Which is like winning strategy. Like, it's in a negotiation, like you said, is like you're focused on what you want, and like changing him as a person is like a tall order. Like, well, you know, I'm going to go in, like, it's almost kind of like politics. Like, I know I can get this for myself.
Well, and
I'm not going to change you as a person.
What good does it do me to change him?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
well, that's a whole nother talk for another day. That's the greater good talk.
Well, I guess the only thing you can do with him is like, he just knows that when he has a conversation with you, it's like, it's going to be a mature negotiation.
Yeah.
It's not going to be this like whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, I'm the same parent that my older son, when he was in elementary school, brought a bullet to school, and the principal calls me and she was like, this is borderline. Like, he could go like big trouble, but it was just a bullet casing. It wasn't a live round and there was no weapon.
What the fuck is he going to do with a piece of brass?
I don't know. But
lunatics.
Like, this is the same parent where I said, hey, there's only like an hour of school left, right? And she's like, yeah. And the kid knew, like my son knew he shouldn't have brought it to school. I said, can you do me a favor? And I said, if I'm hearing you correctly, he's not in trouble, right? And she goes, no, he's not in trouble. And I said, okay, can you do me a favor? Can you keep him in your office for the rest of the day and tell him that you're waiting to hear from your boss if he's going to get kicked out of school or not? And then at the end of the day, say you've heard back and he's good. And she was like, I see exactly what you're doing and yeah. I got you. Yeah. Right. So there I'm actually advocating for the school to
punish
my kid a little harder than they would, because it's a great opportunity for him to learn. Right.
Yeah. Of course.
So I'm not the guy that's going to go rescue my child from punishment anywhere. It's only when it's wrong.
You play the field. Like sometimes there's negotiations where you go in and you're like, I have to be the coming in hot.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
There's some negotiations where like, Let's play this for what it is.
And I mean, I wasn't really coming in hot. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't right. yell. Well, I didn't
anything.
Well,
that's a reading on your feet, too. Yeah. Like, you can't really like know what you're getting into until right. that someone opens their mouth.
Right. And so, ironically, as we were just starting the show.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you do today?
So, 2 days ago.
I'm entertained.
Yeah, 2 days ago, the office calls and says that Grant's going to have a lunch detention today, is the day we're filming the show. And we're like, what happened? And they said that he was taking, he and his lunch table was taking Smarties and a empty sandwich baggie that they filled kind of partially with air. And then they would poke a Smartie into the corner of the sandwich bag and let it rest there. And then they would take their fist and smash the sandwich bag and it would launch the Smartie kind of like a blob on a lake where somebody lays on it, somebody else jumps on it.
Those
launches
are really
them.
Fun. Unless there's like a girl behind you and you're like, she's not launching me anywhere. Yeah. Where's the fat guy? I want
the fat guy. Give me two of them.
Three or four fat guys to jump on this thing.
Yeah. And so, I mean, obviously that's against the rules. It's the school's job to punish him for however he needs to be punished. And so, you know, he got caught launching food across the lunchroom. And so he's got a lunch detention.
I will say, you maybe need to have the talk with him about, hey, look, dude, you're on their radar now.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to like, I'm not telling you to.
I only have so much capital.
Yeah.
Like, you can, dude, they're literally, when something happens and there's a group of people, they're looking at you first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have set a precedent.
Yeah.
You need to lay low for a while.
I spent a lot of time getting you out of this mess.
So the phone call that I need to give the school today is yesterday. They called us yesterday and said he's got a 1 day lunch detention. No big deal. You eat lunch in the office.
Yeah.
Right? 20 minutes.
Yeah. Obviously, it's not deterring him, though.
Well, so today, as he's in his lunch detention, somebody walks into the office and says, I've seen you in here too much. You now have tomorrow, too.
That had to be the principal.
I don't know.
Had to be.
But.
Like the receptionist can't punish him because he's in there too much.
Right. And he's not been in, like this is only his second lunch detention of his middle school career.
Well, yeah, but he was in there the other day for racism.
Well, unfounded.
I know.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So like he's on the, boop, he's on the radar, man.
I get to go
have
another conversation with him and try to get to the bottom of this and find out, were they joking? Are they serious? Is he actual? Because if he is, I'll take him out of school for lunch tomorrow, and I'll go take him to lunch. Because again,
don't you have productive things to do?
I do. Raising my child is the most important one.
And you're killing me, man. You know how much work I'm doing in this trade wind shit. My partner is waxing.
Whatever.
I mean, like, it's one of those
aren't
things
you supposed
where,
to be in charge of marketing or something? Aren't you supposed to be fucking doing something?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things we talked about too. Is just playing the field. It could be where the guy was just joking. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that saves, you know.
Right.
But some people, they'll take that, and it's like, people on the emotional side, they get all prepped up and they spend all night being like, oh, the school's against me. And I'm gonna.
So when he gets an in school, whatever, don't they email you?
A lunch detention. Yes, sometimes no.
Well, there's another flaw.
Right. So the day that he got 3 days lunch detention for flinging the ketchup on the ceiling, we never got called or anything. Like Grant just told us about it. And yeah, we were like,
they should still be like communicating with the parents. Like, hey.
Yeah. Well, they did yesterday for the one day today.
Okay.
And now they're telling us it's tomorrow, or he's telling us he's got it tomorrow and they haven't communicated that to us. So that's, okay.
So
it's probably just
a dipshit. So it's a conversation like Grant, like, you know, I can get you out of these ones, but the next one, we got to like, I only have so much capital. You got to take the next one.
No, I mean, I've had these conversations with them and I've told them like, I mean, after this whole racial thing got settled, I told him flat out, I'm like, look, I need you to understand, I'm not coming to your rescue every time you're in trouble.
Right.
The reason I stepped in here was because what you said was not racist.
Yeah, it was unfounded.
And so you were getting in trouble for something that's not against the rules, and I'm not going to allow that. And you know, if they say you were fighting, but you weren't fighting or whatever, like that's a little bit different. However, racism comes with a label that could put you the target for a whole lot of stuff from your peers. And that's where I'm going to stand in and prevent that from ever.
And not just your peers, like
teachers.
The harder middle school and high school is, the harder it is on you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so anything you can do to mitigate being in trouble is very important.
Yeah.
Like just from the simple standpoint of it's easier on you and you don't have to fucking deal with it.
Right.
That's the conversation.
Right.
Like, dude, look, you're only making it harder on yourself. You got to stop.
Right.
Got to stop, regardless of if you're actually being bad or not.
Right.
Like.
Yeah. So I want to summarize the points of having a productive conversation. So before you have the productive conflict conversation, you need to identify what is the desired outcome that you want. And if the desired outcome is to make another person feel a certain way, you're not ready to have the conversation. If the desired outcome is tangible, physical results, so a change of course, a different outcome, a direction change, then you're about ready.
Can I add to that? Checking your emotions first is probably the most important thing.
100%.
That you can't, like, you can't have clarity until you check your emotions.
Yeah.
And then you move on from there.
Yep. And so like this incident happened on a Thursday night and I tried calling the school that day. I usually like to sleep on things like that, but in a case, sometimes you don't have the time to sleep on it. Sometimes you gotta have conversations right away.
You gotta fucking act, man.
So, I still was afforded the opportunity to sleep on it because they didn't call me back till the next day. But, another thing is when you're picking your desired outcomes of what you want, look to your core values. And if you don't have core values, get some core values. Because those core values will guide the desired outcome.
Yeah.
And so like my own personal core values are like honesty, excellence, and integrity and some other things. Well, this action was direct violations of my core values. It was dishonest. It was unethical. And it had nothing to do with excellence, right?
Yeah.
And so I used those core values to shape the desired outcome from that conversation. And then after that, I held true to that conversation. Another thing that I established is I always like using comparisons to drive points home. So I compared to the other joke that involves race, but is not racist.
Yeah.
Right. And I even pointed out to the school.
It's good to have something to back you up.
Yeah.
That's not just your own mouth.
I pointed out to the school that establishing somebody's race for parameters is not racist, because if it was, the school is racist every day for asking kids to label their race on tests or enrollment. Right. And so using those parameters, I was able to shape the constructive outcome of the conversation. I was able to keep my emotion out of it, and we were able to get the desired result. You don't always get the desired result. This isn't like the proven way to win the conversation.
You can't win
every
time.
Keep in mind, winning,
it's impossible.
Winning is different. Winning is not I'm right and you're wrong. Winning is not my kid's not in school suspension.
No, winning is the results that you wanted.
Yes, winning is the results that were created from looking to the core values and saying what is right and what is wrong. And winning has nothing to do with feelings, right? Now, it can feel good to
It always feels good to win.
Well, yeah, it can feel good to have the desired outcome come true, but I wouldn't say I won in that.
Like, no, you wouldn't use that as an example.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't a winner and a loser. This is like, we all won because Grant now has better clarity on what is not racism. Right.
Yeah.
This principal has better clarity on how I'm going to handle and address things when it comes to my kid and all this stuff. Yeah. So like I would venture to say we all won.
Yeah.
But throughout your course of business, you will absolutely have to have constructive conversations that are full of conflict. And if you're not having conflict through your growth, you're not trying to grow fast enough. You're not trying to grow hard enough.
You're letting that stuff come to you.
Yeah. The easiest way to not have conflict in the business is to not care about anything. And if you don't care about anything and you don't have dreams and goals and visions and standards,
you're not growing.
You're not going to have very much conflict. You're not going to have very much success. So if you set your standards in a way that align with your dreams and goals and your visions, you will have conflict. There will be people that are acting outside of those standards. There will be actions that occur that deviate from those standards. And it takes conflict, conversations around conflict to get those back on course.
Yeah.
So
that's good. Wrap us up.
Yeah, we're a little bit of a shorter show today, but we're gonna call that it. That's it. And until next time, guys, we'll see you later. If this show brought you value, if it made you think of things in a different light, if you liked the message in this show and you think somebody else needs to hear it, please do us a favor and hit the share button on whatever platform or device you're listening on and text it to them. That's the best way to get this show shared around, is not posting links to the show on social media or anything else. It's literally texting the people that you think would get impact from each individual show. So if we have a show about marketing and you don't know anybody that needs marketing help, don't text them. If we have a show about constructive
text them.
Conversations around conflict and you know somebody that's going through that, text them and say, hey, listen to this. This may help. So that's how the show gets shared and that's how we all get better. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.